Track 5. Adam Hayes-Smith gets to drive a £25 million legend.
91 years on, Bentley has painstakingly recreated the machine in which Birkin so fiercely campaigned the 1930 Le Mans 24 Hours, and I've been lucky enough to take the helm. I flick down two magneto switches behind an immense steering wheel, so big, in fact, that you have to slide onto the driver's seat via the passenger side door. Engage the fuel pump and press fire. The effect is like that of a pre-war flux capacitor transporting me back to the rakish era of the jazz age Bentley boys. The epitome of Roaring Twenties performance and panache. This is a continuation blower, don't call it a replica, built officially by Bentley and the Mulliner Coach Building Division, and forensically based on a car in their possession, the most valuable Bentley in the world, the original 1929 Team Car Number 2, which confusingly has a 9 on it. Clad in bellicose Vandenpla coachwork, the 4.5-litre blower is, in patriotic engineering terms, a Spitfire without wings. The aristocratic Birkin saw what Mercedes-Benz were doing with their supercharged SSK in 1928 and suggested to his team principal, the taciturn W.O. Bentley, that forced induction was the urgent way forward. Walter Owen, 40 at the time, was unconvinced. In fact, he called it perverting and corrupting, force-feeding pressurized fuel and air into one of his mighty engines was, he believed, undignified. Birkin found the money he required elsewhere. Eccentric racehorse-owning multimillionaireess, the Honourable Dorothy Paget, from Brandon in Thetford Forest, who ate breakfast at 8:30 p.m., and referred to her all-female household staff by colour coding. Birkin set up his own workshop in Wellingarden City, Hertfordshire, away from Bentley's Cricklewood operation in North London, and it was here that he set about hot-rodding W.O.'s Green Leviathan. The nickname Blower comes from the enormous Amherst Villiers supercharger bolted to the front of the car, producing 242 bhp, which was almost unfathomable grunt at the time. It did have some reliability issues, though, and never actually won a race. At 2 tons, it holds a record which will never be beaten as the heaviest car ever to enter a Grand Prix. Rival Ettore Bugatti called it the fastest lorry in the world. Birkin finished second. The blower wasn't ready in time for the 1929 Le Mans, but it rocked up the following year. Bentley Motors fielded an official team of 3 new Speed 6 6.5-litre cars and lent support to the unofficial Paget 2-car team of Birkin and Jean Chassagne, number 9, and Dr. Dudley Benjafield and Giulio Ramponi in number 8. Bentley understood that the blower was unreliable, but lightning quick. The tactic was employed to harry the supercharged Mercedes of German star Rudolf Caracciola from the start. The lead between the blower and the white 7.1-litre SSK changed a number of times, and then finally, at 1:30 in the morning, Caracciola retired with a broken dynamo. Birkin's car ground to a halt with a broken conrod after 20 hours, and the number 8 car did the same an hour later. But in defeating the Mercedes, they paved the way for Bentley's official Speed 6s to take first and second in a formation finish, led by Wolf Barnato, said to be Britain's Jay Gatsby, and Glenn Kidston, an heroic submariner and record-breaking aviator. It was Bentley's 5th Le Mans victory, and the Mark wouldn't win again until 2003. Upon its centenary in 2019, Bentley stripped and restored Birkin's racing car, registration UU5872, down to the nuts and bolts, and in so doing, it digitally scanned each component and micro-analysed every fibre, and then reproduced the 1,846 bespoke parts that make up the 2021 re-release. The continuation car's heavy-gauge steel chassis is hand-formed, beaten and hot-riveted by a Derby company which makes locomotive boilers, using the original tools. The frame is ash, the paint is cellulose, the cockpit is clothed in Rexine, and the oxblood leather seats have been stuffed with horsehair. Some non-existing items have needed sourcing, such as the three-stud tyres, originally Dunlop, but now manufactured by a company called Blockley, and number two's dashboard lap counter, which was liberated from a Paris billiard room during the post-race celebrations. One could even specify a Birkin heel-sized depression marking the wood under the accelerator. It's taken 40,000 man-hours to make the prototype a reality. In addition to Car Zero, the dedicated test and development car I'm driving here at Bedfordshire's Millbrook Proving Ground, Bentley is building 12 customer cars priced at £1.5 million each and long since sold. Before they let me drive this, though, Bentley hand me the keys to UU5872 to get used to the gearbox, which in the original Birkin Mobile is a little more forgiving. So, to prepare for driving the new £1.5 million car, I get to grips with the £25 million old one. This is truly pinch-me bucket list stuff. Birkin famously raced with a blue and white polka dot silk scarf tied around his neck, so I've opted for the same. In comparison, both are challenging drives requiring Battle of Britain levels of commitment. The non-synchronous transmission in the new car needs more running in, for my attempts to double clutch often make vaguely dental noises. So too the brakes, which are almost non-existent. The pedal setup on both cars is hazardous to the uninitiated, with the throttle in the middle and the brake to the right. The steering is heavy and requires getting one's elbows out, much to the discomfort of your passenger. It is a literally bruising experience, anaesthetised by adrenaline. The cockpit is littered with knobs, levers and switches that threaten to impale you, and I managed to tear the sleeve of my sports jacket on the gear stick. That's the sort of story Savile Row tailors live for. The new car is a bit tighter and more chuckable than the 1929 car, as is to be expected, and the custom-crafted supercharged inline four-cylinder engine is an antique work of art. You need to get it nice and hot, though, before it'll backfire like Birkin's, onlookers ducking as if it's a mortar attack. Both cars are rewarding to drive, though after 24 minutes of wrestling the wheel, I'm starting to feel tired. How did the Bentley boys drive these things for 24 hours? This is muscular motoring and right on the edge of control. To describe the sensation, imagine sitting upright in a Victorian pram that your nanny has let go at the top of a very long and steep hill. My advice is to hang on and enjoy the ride.